Good morning, everyone. I'm really glad to be with you. As Daniel said, I have been a part of Kindred for a really long time. I was thinking back to it. I've preached some sermons when we were in the pandemic, and Daniel and I were masked up and videoing each other every Tuesday. I've preached some sermons in a movie theater, and excited to be with y'all this morning. As Daniel also said, I work at Duke Divinity School in alumni engagement. I'm also an alum of Duke Divinity School, but if there's any Duke friends or Tar Heel fans in the crowd, don't worry. My allegiances are in Virginia to all things sports, so I hope you won't hold any of those things against me, but I'm really excited to be with y'all this morning. And I wonder if you all would take whatever posture of prayer works for you and join me in prayer. God, I thank you for helping us to show up this morning, to be in this space with our physical selves and hopefully with as much of our heart and our mind that can be here this morning. Lord, with the meditations of all of our hearts and the words that I say this morning, be a reflection of the love that you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. So it was really funny to me. Pastor Daniel invited me to preach, and you know, he sent me an invitation and said, you know, would you do this? But also what he said to me was that the last time you were set to preach at Kindred was October 10th, 2023. And for most of y'all, that would be just a random date on the calendar, but I was in the hospital on day two of giving birth to my daughter, Eleanor. So if you can believe, I wasn't here. And so it was just wild for me to think about how much time has been since October 10th of 2023 and today. It's 6 months. But what I also was thinking about is just reflecting on what else has happened between October and now. And when I think about that, I think about sort of the through line being all the people that have shown up in my life between that day and now. It really has been that this church has shown up for myself and my family in ways that I could have never predicted. I really found myself at the end of my rope in 2023. I think it's a part of motherhood that a lot of people don't talk about. My mental state was broken. I had never expected or prepared to be that lost and broken and confused in what I now call and know to be postpartum depression. There were so many days in that first 3 months after giving birth to Eleanor that Jesus was the farthest thing from my mind, but what I know now is that I wasn't the farthest thing from his. I wasn't reading my Bible every day, to be really honest. Y'all, I probably wasn't even changing my clothes. But so many people here at Kindred Church texted, called, showed up with food, showed up with coconut water. Who knew that was gonna be helpful, but it was so helpful. They were showing up not only to show me their love, but to show me God's love. And it was a constant reminder that I was still being reminded and being remembered of that God was with me. They showed up when I couldn't find Jesus, and especially in moments when I barely could even find myself. Their ministry of presence was a powerful reminder of, yet again, not just their love, but Jesus is. And it really was a powerful statement of the potential of what the church is and what I think the church can be. And I think it's exactly what Jesus is speaking about in our scripture lesson from Matthew this morning. The passage is from kind of a group of passages called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I would give you some homework to read all of the Sermon on the Mount because I really do think it's a great thing to be able to think about that sermon and how it reflects on who we are as Christ followers. But this part in the chapter is a part of the larger Sermon on the Mount. And he is kind of up and elevated, and he's speaking to this crowd of people, right? And Part of that crowd is his newly formed disciples, but it also, and maybe largely, includes this group of peasants, people that, you know, we wouldn't actually consider to be socially influential or really influential of any kind. A lot of these people were looking for physical healing and spiritual healing, and they were looking for Jesus to help them. But despite all of this, this kind of neediness that this crowd had, Jesus tells them that they are salt of the earth and light of the world. And honestly, they would eventually become the foundations of the church today. Now, most of us might have thought that Jesus would put this kind of big identity on people like the Pharisees, teachers, or other powerful symbols in society. But in true Jesus fashion, he's resetting and turning things on his head and chooses this group of people. And just as Jesus calls this crowd that day to be salt and light, we, as Christ followers, inherit that moral identity today. We are salt and light that Jesus is talking about. And now it's us as Minoka or you individually, but also it's our corporate identity as the church. These things, being salt and light, are to describe who our identity as a community of church followers are to be. Because together, salt and light elevate and draw people to goodness. Now, you might be, as I was, a little bit confused by the choices that Jesus makes. Salt and light are kind of interesting things for Jesus to choose as metaphors, but I think they have some really big implications to the mission of the church. First of all, I'm someone who really likes to cook, and so I really appreciated the idea of salt. Salt is used to make things better in cooking. It uplifts flavors, and a lot of time you'll know when you don't have salt in your food. And just like salt in cooking, when you aren't here in church, in this space, something's missing about Kindred. Your gifts, your presence, your testimony, your faith, wherever it may be, is missing when you don't show up here to church. And when you are here, you're an example of Jesus that uplifts everything around it. I have no doubt that life is better for many people in your world because you are in it, and therefore God is in it too. Salt is also a tool for preservation. Before refrigeration, it was used to help slow down decay. We, as Christ followers, help to slow down decay in our workplaces, in our families, and in our neighborhoods, when we yet again not only bring ourselves and our faith, but also our God-sized vision for the world with us. And lastly, salt drives thirst. If you've ever eaten a really salty bag of potato chips, oftentimes what you're looking for next is something to quench that thirst. And so when someone encounters you, they might often say, "Why are you so nice?" Or, "Why didn't you yell at that person in our office when they did something dumb?" It can be an opportunity for you as salt to drive people to the living water of Jesus. And we must remember, as we heard in our scripture this morning, not only did Jesus ask us to be salt, but there's an "and" in that sentence. It's salt and light. Now, light doesn't work without being connected to the source, right? A battery being plugged in, something like that. It's on the offense in life, meaning that when you use it, it dispels darkness into the world. So when we are light, we are an illuminating model of God's love, rather than a mirror that reflects the world back to itself. We're using this source of our love to spread out to the world. But it requires, again, to be connected to our source, which I see as being present here in the church and in the family of God. I was listening to a podcast this week as I was kind of researching and working on this sermon, and I thought the podcaster really summed this passage from Matthew up well. They say, the function of salt is to defend against decay. The function of light is to dispel against darkness. It's one thing to just stop the spread of evil. It's an entirely different thing to promote the love of God and the gospel. That is why you need to be both salt and light. Together, salt and light are a powerful combo in the heart of a Christ follower. They showcase goodness, heal past afflictions, drive us to the need of living water, and bring people to the source of our luminescence, Jesus Christ. I wonder what it would be like for you all to be salt and light in your worlds. One way I think it is to live into the powerful role of showing up here at church. After good times and bad in my life, I found myself saying something to the effect of, I may not be able to tell you the verse of the Bible I read today or even the prayer that came out of my heart, but I can tell you the person that showed up for me and showed me that God's love exists. This is the ministry of presence, and you don't have to be clergy to be a part of it. And I would guess many of you sitting in this room are sitting here because someone showcased the ministry of presence to you. You saw something about someone, or maybe they did something, and you went, why are you like that? And they talked to you about Jesus, or they showed you about Jesus. Your presence here in church is a statement, just as a lamp on a lampstand. Showing up here on Sunday mornings means that you have chose to be here over a multitude of other things that you could be doing. It's a statement of value and priority in your life and casts a vision into the world just as a lamp might. When you show up, you not only show up for yourself, but you show up for God. You elevate and draw people to God's goodness, and God needs each of us. Because let's face it, when we think about the church, I would say, and definitely folks around us think about the church, they think about us. We determine what Christianity looks like for a whole lot of people. And that's why I think it's really important to show up here on Sunday mornings, because it's a reminder of who we are. It's a weekly sort of resetting to be able to go back out into the world. But I think it's good to note that you can have a ministry of presence and not be here too, because ministry of presence also happens outside of the walls of the church. I like to say it that I hope that you're striving to be in church on Sunday morning and about the church Monday through Saturday. When Kindred showed up in my life after giving birth to Eleanor, it was an example of church showing up outside of these walls. But I say this because I get it. Being here on Sunday mornings is hard. I think about it as climbing Mount Everest most Sunday mornings, getting in the car, getting other humans in the car, getting here. I drive 45 minutes, and sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do that. But when I get here, I'm always glad that I did it. And I would argue that the people who showed up for me again and again and continue to this day do it because they love God, and they love God because they're reminded of that love each week when they show up here at church. They're a reminder of salt and life in my life, and I wonder how you can be a reminder of salt and light in others' lives. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. You're physically here this Sunday morning, right? But I hope that if you take nothing away from my sermon, that you come away with a new appreciation for the powerful role that you play in showing up here and being present. And if you've heard me, I haven't said showing up and being perfect, showing up and not having a bad attitude, but you're here. And God can do powerful things with you when you are here in this room. Pastor Daniel last week asked us, what would it be like for Kindred to have a God-sized vision of their church, one that only works with Jesus? Just by being here, you're doing just that. You're part of what is called the ecclesia, the movement of Jesus that was being formed in the book of Matthew that we heard this morning, but continues in the God-sized vision that we're praying for here at Kindred. Now, I know I'm new to a lot of you all. If you're like, I don't believe this lady up front, maybe you'll believe a celebrity. So Trevor Noah, who is a pretty well-known comedian and someone I really love to listen to, he has a weekly podcast. You should listen to it. It's complicated, but it's mostly good. But I was really struck. I was just listening to it on the way in to work, and he ended his podcast this week by talking about the power of church. And he's not necessarily a Christian comedian. He's not a Christian celebrity. But I was really struck by what he said. He said, and I agree, that the value of church is the value of being seen. There's a lot of ways that religion has been used to harm people, but I think that what the church has the potential to do right is to build a community where people are seen and valued regardless of what's going on in their lives and in their worlds. What a powerful testament to God. Oftentimes, I would guess people who are hearing that may not be showing up to church, but they might because of hearing what church could be. Jesus is asking us to build community that includes my life, it includes your life, it includes the lives of people in this space, who aren't in this space, and those who will show up next week. And it takes all of our lives showing up here each week and figuring out this thing called faith together. That's how we will continue to be salt and light in the world. Let us pray. God, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Your vision for the church requires us to be salty in the best Jesus way and bright about who you are and who you have called each of us to be. It requires us to continue to show up here in church, not as perfect, but as examples of your love with our presence. I'm grateful for the ways that you continue to work in my life and all of our lives, no matter our brokenness, but together as we work on this unreasonably big but unquestionably awesome adventure that is a walk with Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit moving in this space this morning, we pray. Amen.